birthday to the greatest wife in the world. And I believe she's the greatest preacher's wife there ever was. Thank you, Brother Eddie. She is a worker. Rosie, she worked tirelessly. She works. And she's always been a great wife to me and an asset to me. And compliments our ministry, doesn't she? We think not all preachers have a good preacher's wife. I'm just being honest with you. And we're blessed that we do have one. Amen. And thank you for being a blessing to her. Please turn your Bibles. I need my whiteboard. Could the kids bring Ed, can you, or Josh? Please turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. We're going to have some fun today. I'm going to, for 16 years, we've had a theme as team here, T-E-A-M. Together, everyone accomplishes much. And I want us to continue to be a team. But starting our 17th year, I want to challenge you not only to be a team, but I'm going to preach a message this morning called Yak Yards for God. Yak Yards for God. Boy, preachers, what they put in that shot that they gave them? Y-A-C. Yak. Yakety-yak. Yakety-yak. Not that kind of yak. Yards after contact. And I'm going to preach to you about that today. I'm going to try to put it in your heart. We're going to use it as a theme at Bethel. We're going to go for yak yards. Amen? Football season started yesterday. Ohio State played their first game. And we're going to talk a little bit about football today. All right? We're going to talk about yak yards. I can relate to this kind of stuff. That's good enough, fellas. Thank you. Thank you, Josh. Thank you. All righty. We're going to talk to you today about yak. Y-A-C. Yards, I don't know why I'm doing this, you can't read it anyways, after contact. How many can see that? I want to speak to you today about yak yards for God. We're already a team. We're already a team. We've been doing that for... When I came to this church 16 years ago, this church was really tore up. We got us all together, and we became a team for God, didn't we? Amen? Together, everyone accomplishes much. Well, I want us to be more than a team. I don't ever want us to stop being a team, but I want us to be a team with yak yards. How many can say amen? I want us to be a team that has yak. I want us to be a team that has yak. Turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. I'm going to share with you a man in the Bible that I believe had yak yards for God. His name was the Apostle Paul. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Glad you're here today. Good to see each and every one of you. Notice in verse 7 of 2 Timothy chapter 4, I have fought Paul said, the Apostle Paul wrote, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Do you notice those? He fought, he finished, and he had faith. He kept the faith. Amen? Boy, I want, yeah. What a great statement to make. What a positive statement. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I believe with all my heart you gave me this message, and you used a couple of men this week in the church to stir me and encourage me and then help me to have a vision, renew my vision. And so, Father, I pray today that what you stirred in my heart last week, I can put in the people's heart today. May they see what I see, and may they feel the way I feel. And may they have a desire to have these yak yards in their life for God. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, Paul will be remembered to me, and I think by many Christians, probably one of the greatest Christians that ever lived. When you ask people who your favorite Bible character is outside of Jesus, usually the Apostle Paul, he'd be up near the top of the list. Amen? And he'll be remembered as one of the greatest Christians that I believe ever lived outside of Jesus Christ. Did you ever notice Paul, although he faced all kinds of opposition and obstacles, he just kept going forward? Can I ask you a question? How will you be remembered? When your life is over, how will you be remembered? How will you be remembered when your life's over? What will they say about you when your life has ended? What kind of testimony are you going to leave behind? What kind of name are you going to have? What kind of legacy will you leave behind that people will speak of? The Apostle Paul, I believe, had one of the greatest legacies, one of the greatest testimonies a man could have who lived for Christ. Amen? Now, why was it? Paul kept pressing forward. He never gave up. He never quit. He never threw in the towel. That's why, Eddie, I believe Paul had such a, people are remembered Paul, because people don't remember losers. They just remember winners. You know that quitters never win, and winners never quit. Amen? Here's one for you, Jimmy. He likes to go to those things. He gave me a good one yesterday about a parrot. I wrote it down. One of the greatest things a Christian can have is if you have a good testimony, you give your parrot to the gossip of the town and let that parrot tell all about your good life. Amen? And now notice, Paul, the reason he had such a great testimony, he kept pressing forward. Even though he had contact, people tried to stop him, people tried to push him back, he just kept going forward, pressing forward, never giving up, never quitting, never throwing in the towel. Always giving a second effort. Always going forward with a positive attitude. You know what? Can I say something to all of this? Our attitude affects what we do. If you have a bad attitude, you mark down, you're not going to accomplish too many things. You'd be surprised what you can accomplish when you have a good attitude. Did you ever notice how your day even goes better when your attitude's better? You look at things different with an attitude. Amen? If you have a bad attitude, you might as well figure out your day is going to be bad. A bad attitude will ruin a whole day. Amen? That's why it's good to start off in prayer and Bible reading and sweetness of God to help you through these problems that would give you a bad attitude. Amen? Help the Lord sweeten you. Now, did you ever think if there ever was a Christian, think with me now, if there was a Christian who could have quit on God, who could have gave up and said, I've had enough of this, the Apostle Paul was the guy. Think with me, although Paul had all kinds of obstacles and had all kinds of trials and persecutions, Paul kept pressing forward. He never quit. Isn't that amazing? Look up here. I'm glad the Apostle Paul never quit. Because the Apostle Paul reached almost all the known world in his day. I really believe America has the gospel today because of the efforts of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul went to all the Gentiles, although he was a Jewish man, Hebrew lineage. He went to the Gentile people. And it's because of his efforts that the gospel stemmed out and stretched out throughout all the world. Trust me, we here in America were blessed because of Paul's efforts over 2,000 years ago. Brother Rod, what would have happened, though, if Paul would have just gave up, threw his hands up in frustration? Brother Brian said, that's it. That's enough for me. It ain't worth it. I'm going to quit. Maybe you and I might never heard the gospel. Maybe you and I would have never been saved. Boy, I'm glad there was a great man of God that loved God, that no matter what the circumstance was, he just kept going forward. No matter how many times he got hit, he just kept right on going. Can anyone say amen? He kept the faith. He fought the good fight. He finished the course. You know, that's why he so admires. That's why he's so admired today. That's why he's loved so much today. He kept going. Listen, he was a winner for Christ. He was a winner for his friends. He was a winner for his church. And he was a winner for his people and for the peoples of today. I want us to look to me, Paul was not only a team player. He had Paul, the Apostle Paul. He had yak yards for God. I believe the Apostle Paul had yak yards for God. Can anyone say amen? I wrote down just 8 scriptures for us to read. No way can sum up the Apostle Paul, but I just want to give you a few thoughts about Paul. Just turn with me. I'm just going to read. Look at the book of Acts. Look at the book of Acts, chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. I've had a lot of trouble today with these. I don't think you're going to. Look at Acts chapter 9. Now, you know Paul got saved in Acts chapter 9. Look at verse 4 and 5. 5 and 6, rather. Acts chapter 9. Are you with me? And look at verse 5. He was going to put Christians in jail there, going down the Damascus Road. He had warrants to put Christians in jail. And he said, but God stopped and sent down a light. And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And verse 6, he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told what thou must do. Right there, Paul got saved. He recognized Jesus Christ as Lord and made him his Savior. Can anyone say amen? Yes. Now watch. He gets saved in verse 5 and 6 of chapter 9. Look at verse 20. He's only been saved for a few days. Are you with me? Look at Acts chapter 9, verse 20. And straightway he preached Christ, Paul did, in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Yeah, when you start preaching Christ, sometimes people aren't too happy about it. But we ought to keep preaching it anyways. Amen? Amen. But all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he which destroyed them which called on the name in Jerusalem? Remember, Paul had a reputation of killing, being ruthless. Paul was there when they murdered the first recorded martyr, Stephen, in the Bible, Acts chapter 8. Are you with me? And I'm sorry, Acts chapter 7, verse 58. And so, he had a reputation of being ruthless, hating Christians. And then he gets saved. Wow. Look at verse 22 rather. But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this was the very Christ. And after this, that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. Hey, Father, they're out to kill you. Someone told us that we'd say, man, we better get out of here. But would we keep going?
Man, maybe I better quit preaching. You better quit preaching, preacher. They're going to kill you. But they lay in wait, was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. You might want to say Paul was a basket case. Amen? What I'm trying to tell you is this. Most Christians might have stopped right there, Ed. Most Christians said, man, this is too dangerous preaching the gospel. Here's a man that just got saved and started preaching the gospel, and already his life is threatened. And already they're trying to knock him down. Already he's having contact from opposition. Are you with me? Are you still with me? Yet he said, no, I'm going to keep pushing forward. I'm going to keep preaching. I'm going to keep going on for God. Can anyone say amen? You see, anybody... See, when you're hit with a ball, the object is when you get hit is not to stop. After first contact, the object is to pick up extra yards, to keep going. Yards after contact. A lot of Christians, they'll get one little contact and they'll stop. A lot of Christians, they'll pick up the ball and start to run for God. Paul did right there. And they'll get some kind of opposition will come. And the next thing, well, I'm not going to serve God no more if that's what it's going to take. I'm glad the Apostle Paul was a man that says, I don't care how much contact that comes in contact with me. I'm going to keep on going, making the arch for God. Amen? Notice, look at Acts 13:50. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women. Boy, I'm going to tell you, I don't fear no men. But I've always tried to tell my preachers, don't mess with the women. Eddie, I don't fear you guys. But if Lizzie and the girls got mad, I'd fear them. You know what I'm talking about, Eddie? I'm going to tell you something. Stay away from those wildcats. Watch out, Brother Jack. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable. These were good people. Did you catch the wording? Honorable. Honorable. These weren't the scumbags, if I can use that in modern terms. These weren't the, what we call, lowlife. These were good, upright people. And they were still mad at Paul. How many Christians would have said, man, if those people are going to tear me down, what's the sense of going on? How many are still with me? And the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul. I'm going to tell you. And they expelled him. And they expelled him on the coast, on their coast. They ran him off. Woo! Man. And all he did was try to serve God. Most people would have quit. Most people have said, that's it. If this is how I'm going to be treated, if they don't appreciate what I'm doing, forget it. I'm not going to serve God. But see, by the way, you're not serving man. You're serving God. No matter what man does to us, don't worry about it. No matter what Christians might say or do to you, don't worry about it. You're serving the Savior. How many times has Satan used saints of God to discourage other saints? Hello? Look at the next scripture I wrote down. Acts chapter 14, verse 19. Man, he's hated. He's threatened to be killed. Look at Acts 14:19. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, they stoned them. They took rocks and put them out and actually hit him with huge rocks. Boy, if they would have put him out there at Bethel, he'd have got rocked, wouldn't he? There's so many rocks out there on our land out there. It's unbelievable. Hello? That might be where they stoned him at, you know? That's where there's so many stones there. No, I'm just kidding you. Watch. is supposed to be a joke. Boy, everybody, you guys got to loosen up a little bit, man. You guys need an X-Lax there or something. You guys are in trouble. Come here with me now. Hello? Listen, look up. Look at the scripture. And there came certain Jews and they, Iconium, and persuaded people and having stoned, drew them out of the city, supposed them to be dead. Right there, right in your margin there, write 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 through 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 through 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 through 4, Paul talked about how he was taken. I'm going to read it to you. Let me read. I'll just take a minute and read it to you. This is where we believe Paul was taken up in the third heaven. Look up here. Every person's got a body, soul, and spirit. You're a trinity. Just God said, let us make man in his own image. God's a trinity. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. He made us a trinity. Body, soul, spirit. We're made in the image of God. Hello? Anybody with me? Three and one, but one. So I'm only one person, but I'm a tri-being. Body, soul, spirit. Are you with me? When a person dies, the body goes back to dust. But the soul and the spirit leave. If you're saved, you go to heaven. If you're lost, you go straight to hell, just like that demon drop. Whew, at Cedar Point. It's a picture of a person dying and going to hell. Whew. I told you a story about that years ago. Years ago, Lighthouse always went on July 4th. I took my church there every year. All, a bunch of us, about 10 cars, 30, 40, 50 people. We'd have a picnic out there and have a blast. And we stand in line for, this guy has been standing in line for 2 hours waiting to ride that demon drop. We got there and the girls went to the restroom and this guy said, yeah, I've been standing for 2 hours waiting to ride this. And I said, sir, do you know what I teach my people? I'm Pastor Skyver of the Lighthouse Baptist Church in Toledo, Ohio. Remember, this is years ago. I said, I teach my people that this demon drop is a picture of a man dying without Christ and going straight to hell. And this man was about 6'4", and I'm not making this up. He was a huge man. And he looked at me, and then, his eyes, Brother Carey, he didn't like what I said. His cheeks quivered. And as his cheeks quivered, my heart quivered. And so I just kept looking straight in the eye, and I said, yes, sir! Oh, 5'6", 6'4". Yes, sir! Straight to hell! You might as well let it go if he's going to get it anyways, amen? And he was so emotionally moved, he walked away from me. Got out of line after he waited for 2 hours to ride it. I never saw him again, and I didn't want to, amen? But when a person dies, either go to heaven or hell. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? By the way, that's why these people, these out-of-body experiences, that soul, the Bible teaches in the Old Testament, and ever the silver cord be cut. There's a cord when you have a child. Remember the cord, the baby connected? Are you with me? Well, we have a spiritual cord. Hello? And until God cuts it, you're not severed away from your body. Paul was taken up, but he never cut the cord, and he brought him back in. Look at 2 Corinthians 12. That's why you see these people with out-of-body. Those people really saw those things. Because when you can leave your body. Now, don't try to project your body. I'm going to astral project preacher tonight. No. I tell ya, you just ate too many pickles and peanut butter jelly sandwich or something. But in truth, a person when a person gets near death, that soul starts to leave, and that's why you see these people is out of. They're not lying. It's real. Their soul almost, but they went back in. How many are with me? It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to the visions and revelations of the Lord. Paul said, I'm in 2 Corinthians 12:2. The writing's not messed up. I knew a man in Christ. Most of you think it would say about. It says above. How many see that word? Above 14 years ago. The reason he says, Karen, above, he was above.
He was out of his body. And we believe it's when he stoned him there, they left him for dead, by the way. We actually believe he left his body right there. Right there. In Acts 14, 19. Now, are you with me? How many are with me? And whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one is caught up into the third heaven. There's three heavens. The first heaven's where the birds fly. The second heaven's where the stars are. And the third heaven's where God lives. That's the third heaven, the place of God, the abode of God. And so he was literally taken up in the third heaven. We believe his soul and spirit was taken up, and then God put him back in his body, but set him back. He saw heaven, got a glimpse of heaven. He says words unspeakable. And then God put him back and said, go back and preach. Are you with me? Go back to the book of Acts, chapter 14. And so we see that he was stoned. Now, he got saved. We're only in Acts chapter 14. He got saved in Acts chapter 9. And already he's hated, stoned, almost killed, beaten, run out of towns, hated, persecuted. How many are with me? Yet even though they kept hitting, he just kept going. Can anyone say amen? Notice another scripture real quickly. Look at the Philippian jailer. Acts chapter 16. Acts 16 and verse 22. And when they had laid many stripes, they beat him. They whooped him. They lashed him with a whip. Stripped him down and lashed him. And when they had laid many stripes, most of the time it was 40 stripes. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast him into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust him into the inner prison and made their feet fast in stocks. Boy, what a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Hello? We'd have been saying, that's it. I've had it. Lizzie, enough's enough. Hello? Brother Kerry, the average person, me included, would probably have thrown the towel in. If we'd be honest. Here he is, beaten and battered. And thrown in jail, put in locks. But look at the next verse. At midnight, Paul and Silas, they prayed and sang praises unto God. Wow. Knocked down, but not knocked out. He just spun it right off. Just spun it right off. And just kept on going. Wow. Picking up them yak yards. He just kept picking up. I mean, think with me. They beat him. They throw him. And when I was a kid, I used to have a move. And because I hear I'll put it over here. Let me teach you kids something. When in football, wherever your opponents come, you put your ball on, and underneath there and hold the other side. If you're going this way, you put it this way, okay? If you're going to the middle, you just go right down and just put your head down. I'm going to kill it for you in my way.
Jim Brown.
Yes, sir. Rich Steiner, too. Try to hit your butt. There was a move that we used to love, and it was called a spin move, and they hit, and you just spin and keep right on going. And so you could tell I was a fullback, couldn't you?
Yeah.
And I was a fullback. And the Apostle Paul, he picked up a lot of yak yards, because when he come in contact with opposition, when he came in contact with Satan and all the opposition of the world, he learned how to be hit, yet not stop. And he learned to spin off and go forward for God. You know what? We need to learn that spin. We need to learn to spin things off. Instead of getting sputtered and stopped, we need to learn to spin off those things that stop and pick up some yak yards for God. Amen? Am I making sense to anybody today? Notice, look at Acts chapter 27, verse 41. Acts 27, 41. Now, there's tons of stuff. I mean, you know, there's no way a preacher could do it in one service. 27, 41. I'm just giving you a little outline today. And he was in a shipwreck. And falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart struck fast and remained unmovable. But the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. He's in a shipwreck. God told me he was going to have a shipwreck too, by the way. But notice, and the soldiers counseled was to kill the prisoners lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded them that they which could swim should cast themselves first in the sea and get to the land. And the rest, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. I'm going to tell you why they made it, though. If there's a great message in verse 31. Paul warned them that if they would have jumped earlier, they would have been killed by the sea. Look what he says in verse 31. Paul said to the centurion, he saved their lives, and to the soldiers, except thee abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. How many people, when turbulence comes, how many Christians, when waves start to come and the winds of life start to blow, how many Christians jump ship? Paul said, you wanna make it? Stay in the ship. If you stay in the ship, the Lord will get you to the other side. Too many Christians today jumping ship. Too many Christians bailing out on God. Stay in the ship with God, even during the midst of the storm. He'll get you through the storm. Pick up some yak waves for God. Amen? Instead of yak yards, pick up some yak waves for God. Can anyone say amen? Listen, Paul was now, and then look at real quickly with me, 28:3. He was bit by a poisonous snake. When Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks, they laid on him the fire. There came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And it actually bit him. Look at verse 5. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. How many see that? You know what? Look up here. When we get bit by old slew foot, we as Christians need to shake them off. When we get hit by the opposition, we need to shake them off. Shake them off. How many are with me? And too many Christians, they're getting bit, but instead of shaking them off, they stay down. They let the venom of Satan drive them down. And they never accomplished nothing for God. Why don't you say, I'm not going to let the bite of Satan take me down no more. Amen? Why don't you say, I'm not going to fumble the ball. I'm going to hold on for God. And I'm going to score some yak yards for God. Amen? Notice, not only was Paul a team player, he had yak yards for God. Are you still with me? I'm going to have fun here in just 1 minute. Yak. Yards after contact. Now listen. The Apostle Paul was hit many times. He was hit from different directions. He was hit in different ways. Notice, actually, I want you to read, I had a couple other scriptures. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 23. Trying to give you a thought of what Paul went through. Yet he kept pushing forward for God. Notice, in verse 23, 2 Corinthians, and are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. I'm more in labors, more abundant, in stripes, above measure in prisons, more frequent in deaths, often. Of the Jews, 5 times I received I 40 stripes, save one. Three times was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice was I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. I'm going to tell you right now, in journeyings, often in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of heathen, in perils of city, in perils of wilderness, in perils of sea, in perils of brethren, in weariness and painfulness, and watching often, in hunger and thirst, and fasting often, in cold and nakedness, and he never kept going. He just kept going, kept going. He was hit, 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 but he just kept going. He just kept driving. He wouldn't let them stop. He just kept going forward. Oh, the God, if we could have Christians like that. Man, if we could have Christians like that. Look at the next chapter. One last verse. Chapter where he says, my great, 2 Corinthians 12:7. 12:7. And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of revelations that was given to me, a thorn in the flesh. He had some health issues, man. And the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above. He had people outside distractions. He had health issues. I'm going to tell you, listen, don't turn to it, but I put down, we believe he had trouble with his eyes. Because in Galatians 4:15, I believe it is, it said, he said, I've witnessed that you would have taken your, if you could have, you'd have plucked your eyes out and gave them to me. I think it's Galatians 4:15. Then in Galatians 6:11, he talks about, you see how I've written in large letters to you. It was only six chapters there. He's talking about how large he wrote. The Apostle Paul had, we think, was almost blind. Are you with me? He had a hard time seeing, and he didn't have no optical division places you could go and get glasses in back and then. Can anyone say amen? yet he couldn't hardly read. I mean, he couldn't, he could read really. He was a very educated man. He couldn't hardly see at the end, but yet he wrote half the New Testament. I'm glad he didn't give up for God. Amen? Now let me show you something. I'm going to put all this together. Listen, the Apostle Paul, most of all, was known in his day because I believe he had yak yards for God. He just kept on driving the line even though he was stopped. Can you imagine if he would have quit and gave up after a few attacks, a few contacts, a few oppositions? He would have never reached the multitudes, probably even us, had he stopped. How many are glad he didn't stop? Listen, Satan might have hit him at the 30, but he kept running to the 40 and the 50-yard line. Amen? I love this. I love this. Never saw it till this week. You ever notice those guys playing football? When they're at the goal line, they'll lunge and they'll put their, try to get the ball over the goal line, or they're going for a first down and they'll lunge and they'll try to get the ball. They reach out. They reach forth. You know where they got that? They got that from Paul Yakyards. Let me read to you Philippians 3:13, what the Apostle Paul said. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before. See, Paul knew it was to reach forth. Paul knew it was to have contact, yet not stop. Are you still with me? Stay with me. Listen, yesterday, Paul knew all about yak yards. He kept going. He was hit, but he kept going. He was tried to be stopped, but he spun off. Listen, I remember when I was a kid. Man, I loved sports when I was a kid. I played hockey. I played football. I played baseball. And I got the achievement about everything I did. Wasn't that good in basketball? I wasn't tall enough, but I was fast. And but in football, I ran fullback, and I used to run. I was real fast, Kerry. And I had a body made the heck, and I didn't look like the Pillsbury cop in Noble. I was really a good specimen then. I got pictures to prove it to you. They used to give me the ball. And you always hold that ball there. I think they knock it by. See, you just got, no matter where you're at, you got to keep. And then, so they give me the.
ball, and if they ran you up the middle, and you knew you were going to get, and you knew you were going to get people to line, they're going to try to hit you. You put that ball right here, fellas, and you cut that ball. And I used to just put my, I was a band man, and you really awesome. They my team loved it. And I just went, what the heck, Steve? Oh my God, that's in my way. I ran. Honestly, God, they thought I was nuts. I wanted them to try. I ran people over. They said, "These tell me, Sky, you're not supposed to knock them down. They're trying to fuck knock you." I said, "No, I just want to knock them a little bit." And they had a player. They had a lot of plays designed for me because I had a lot of speed. I was always the fastest kid on the team. They had a power left where the quarterback he would pitch it out to me. One day we were playing Longfellow. It was Longfellow school. And they did a power left where the quarterback would throw a pitch out to me. I'd be like 5 or 6 years in the backfield. But the play moved real slow. And they had linemen. I'm serious. We're just talking grade school now. This is grade school. 873. They had 3 linemen on one side. There were 250, 275, and 295. And nobody blocked, Josh. And guess what? I was back here with the ball, and man, they slaughtered me. They threw me for a loss. Now that, I think that was the only, I think I'm telling you the truth. This is the only one I can hear. But it's the only time I can ever remember that I lost yardage carrying the ball. And all the time I played football. They might stop at the line or just stop at the one. But I could never remember, and I couldn't believe that they got me. I wasn't hurt. They thought I was hurt. I wasn't hurt at all. Matter of fact, to be honest with you, I jacked a couple of them in the gut because they were on top of me. But I wasn't hurt at all. But I was so mad that they stopped me. I literally got, don't do this, by the way. It wasn't too smart of me either. But I had such a bad temper. I got up and I kicked the ball. I was like, booted the ball. The referee, the guy just looked at the team over and said, 28! 28! I don't know what they called it. They gave us a penalty. I remember my coach, and Mike, when you told me about this yak yard last Sunday, you brought back this very thing that I'm talking about. I remember I lost yardage for my team. And boy, was I hot. I was really mad. I hate to lose. I always hated to lose. Like God, we win a lot, amen? I couldn't take losing. Still can't take losing, eh? You know what? I wouldn't have a preacher that didn't want to win. And there's got to be a consistency, but you should always want to win. Not that you're not hurting other people, but you should always want to win. And I remember my coach saying, "All right, Stein, you want to get your back ass up?" I said, "Yes." Said, "All right, we're going to do a 47 crossfire." And what? Stand your age. You're the quarterback. All I want you to do is turn this way, Eddie.
I'll just show up.
Yeah. All I want you to do is, when I say hot, just turn on Eddie the ball. Hot! They said, "Joe Mack could do that, couldn't you?"
I ran 65 yards. No one ever touched me. Went for a touchdown. I scored a lot of touchdowns when I was a kid. But it was something. See, I guess what you... I made some... I didn't stop after I was knocked. See, I was knocked down. But I got back up. And I got some yak yards for God. Are you with me? After the game, the coach of the other team, by the way, 65 yards, and they never touched me. We didn't run the power left any of that day, more that day. But we ran a lot of crossfires. Amen? 47 crossfire, 43 crossfire. And I remember the coach coming up of the other team, putting his arm around me and said, 28, you're really a ball player. But you got to learn to control your temper. You know, I learned early in life as a kid, and I think that's why God called me to preach. I always was a guy. No matter if they hit me, I'd just keep on driving. If they tried to stop me, if they didn't bring, I'd spin off. Oh, I think I could still do it today. At 57 years, I think I could spin off a bunch of kids even to this day. I'd rather just plow people up, but I don't want to hurt nobody now. Plus, I don't want nobody to hurt me. Can't afford it, amen? But to Christians, you know, we're going to come in contact in life. We're going to come in a lot of contact in life with a lot of heartaches, a lot of sorrow, a lot of opposition. And we need to learn, like the Apostle Paul, that even though we have come in contact with things, not to give up, but to keep the ball. But to keep the ball. Boy, I love football. To keep the ball and just keep on running and keep on going and keep on driving. I'm going to give you this last thought. I watched the Ohio State game yesterday. I didn't see the first half, but I saw the second half. I feel sorry for Ohio State. Everybody thinks they're a great team. I'm for Ohio State, by the way. But that's the worst defense I think I've ever seen in Ohio State. You said they only gave up 12 points. I'm going to tell you, when they play a real team bigger than a high school team, they're going to be in trouble. But I noted this. There was a man yesterday, Eddie, that ran for Northern Illinois. His name was Garrett Wolf. Garrett Wolf. Just a little fella. You know, he ran for 171 yards. He had 26 carries. He ran for 171 yards. And I saw was the second half. And he ran for a couple runs, 15, 20 yards, where they took away because of penalties. He'd have been over 200 yards rushing if one for the penalties. And plus, he ran for 114 yards. I mean, caught five balls for 104. He had almost three by himself. He had almost 300 yards. I watched him score a touchdown at the end there. I don't know how many saw the game. Anyone see the game? This Garrett Wolf. They all day long. If I'm so glad that coach wasn't a good coach. I would have given that kid that ball almost every play. Up the middle. Ohio State could not stop that kid running. They passed a lot. I'd have been a Woody Hayes might have won with Northern Illinois if he was still alive. Because Ohio State couldn't stop that kid. It'd take two and three and four hits before they ever brought him up. Because see, that kid was hit, Mike, and he just kept going. He kept going. They kept hitting him. Kerry, when he scored that touchdown, there was three guys. He was like at the 4 yard. Three guys. They couldn't stop him from going in. They hit him, but he kept going. They hit him, he kept going. He just kept going down the field. I'm going to tell you right now, I know they've got Ohio State rated number one in the country, and I know there's some great players on both teams, on the team, But if I was to pick a man, who do I want from those two teams? I would take that kid named Garrett Wolf. Because Garrett Wolf had more yak yards, more yards after contact than any person on that field yesterday. Are you still with me? You know what? We're going home. Before we go home, I want to just ask you this question. How many contacts have you had? How many are you willing to take and keep going for God? The Christian life's hard. The Christian life's hard, I'm telling you. Listen, we're not at heaven yet. We're going to face a lot of opposition, heartaches, and sorrow. Man, D, you know, haven't you? We've been through the fire, D, but she kept going. You got yak yards, T. Arlene, you got yak yards. Miss Mert, you've got yak yards. You've been hit, but you kept going. How many are still with me? Listen, as I close this out. Heads up, Ed. Touchdown. Listen, a good coach will make adjustments at halftime. Are you with me? If he sees a certain play is not working, he'll go to another play. He'll go to another plan. He'll go to another alignment. He'll go to another adjustment. The power left was a great play for us when I ran for Riverside Grade School. But for that on that day at Longfellow, it didn't work with those kind of people. They had too much on that one side, and their people couldn't clear the line for me. When you see something's not working, don't quit. Make an adjustment for God. Hello? God, I must not be doing. Is there another way I can do this for the glory of you? God, is there something I can do that would make it a better, turn out better? Lord, help me to be a better soul winner. Help me to be a better prayer. Help me to be a better giver. Help me to be a better, more Bible reader. Lord, what could I do to make it better? How many are with me yet? Bethel, we are a great team together. And everyone has accomplished much. But now I want us to rally on the theme this year for yak yards. Let's work as a team for yak yards. Amen? Listen, I want to encourage you to go forward for God for some yak yards. Let's keep hacking and yakking away for God. Amen? Now let me give this from my heart and we'll go home. I wanted to build real bad this year. I really believe God gave me the building for us. But it didn't happen. And I don't know if I'm right to tell you this. But I guess I can tell you now that I'm coming out of it. Probably for the last 2 or 3 months, I've been at the lowest point in my whole ministry of 25 years. So depressed. I really thought we were going to have that building this year, Eddie. And I really got depressed. I'm going to be honest with you. Not going to lie to you. And really discouraged. And then this last week, one man Sunday night mentioned this yak yards to me. It just got me excited. Made me think, yeah. We don't need to give up. There might be another way, a different way. Maybe I don't have the right plan right now. Then the deacon Thursday night, one of our deacons just encouraged me. He said, "Preacher, let's get together after this revival's over. Let's just get together and put our, maybe there's another way. Maybe, not to forsake what God gave you, but maybe there's another way. Maybe we have to go out and have a different plan. Maybe we have to do something before I can have what I want in the future." We got to be open to what God wants. Amen? And so, don't give up. Make adjustments. Don't give up. Just keep working at the program. Listen, maybe there's another play we can make. Maybe we can figure out another building. I don't know.
But I know one thing. We need to just keep working and working and working. And don't get discouraged because Christ is coming back. Listen, listen, the land's there. We just need to work out. I know God wants us there. We just need to keep yakking. We just need to keep yakking away. And you know what? I'm the type of guy, I'm a yakker. I'll just keep. Where's that football? Give me that football, bud. There's a touchdown back there. I don't know how many times I got to carry the ball, but I'm just determined I'm going to keep making the play until I make it there. See, a lot of people just say, you can't do it, and they quit, and they never get there. It might take me 20 plays, but I'm going to get there. You see, I'm just going to keep jacking away. I'm just going to carve. I'm just going to keep racking up the yak yards for God until I score the touchdown. You know what? Some of you have given up on God. Some of you have dropped the ball. Some of you have been stopped and you've quit running. You quit reading your Bible. You quit tithing. You quit soul winning. You quit yakking for God. You know, today I want to encourage you, Bethel. Let's pick up the football again. And let's pick up and do some yak yards for God. Let's carry the ball for God and make some yak yards, yak yards, yak yards, yak yards for God. Bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray with all my heart that even though if we're hit, discouraged, knocked down, come in contact with all the heartaches and trials of life, I pray that we'll learn to be like the Apostle Paul and keep on reaching forth, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing forward and reaching forth, pressing forward, picking up yak yards, never stopping, never quitting, never giving up, staying in the game, staying in the fight, fighting a good fight, keeping our faith, and racking up yak yards for God. I wonder, with our heads bowed today, maybe you've been here and you've been discouraged and you felt like throwing a towel in lately. I know that feeling. I've been there. I've been walking through a valley, the darkest valley I've ever been in my ministry the last 2 or 3 months. But I'm glad I'm starting to come out of it. Glad God's giving me some light. And I got the ball again, and I'm running down the field. And I'm telling God, give me the ball. I'll carry it for you. Call that 47 crossfire, God. I'll run it down the field for you. How many say, preacher, I'll be honest with you. I've really been discouraged. Pray that God would encourage me. I get back and start serving God like I used to. Pray for me. Who'd say that? Yes. God bless you. Yes. Yes. God bless you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I need to start
Preacher, I'm not racking up the yak. Yes, God bless you. I see that. I need to get those yak yards. By the way, some of you need to join this church. You need to get on a winning team. We're going down the field. Why don't you get on a team with us and start picking up some yak yards with us? You're saved. You've had believer's baptism. You ought to join the church. If you've been saved, then let us baptize you. If you haven't been baptized, we'll baptize you. Maybe you're here and you've never been saved. Maybe you're here and you don't know if you'd die, if you'd go to heaven. Say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that? Just raise your hand. I won't come to you, but I'll pray for you. Preacher, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. Anyone like that? I won't embarrass you. Just look your hand, put it back down. Say, pastor, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I don't want to die and go to hell. Pray for me. Heavenly Father, I did the best I could. I pray for people to come forward today and pray and say, God, they're going to start running down some picks up the yak yards for you. And Lord, maybe there'll be someone to join the church. Maybe someone be baptized. Someone be get saved. I don't know. Whatever your will is, that's what we want. We give this service to you now. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing a verse. Whatever God's got in your heart, you come right now. You come right now. You want to join the church? You come. Amen. All right. Brother Andy's friends joining Bobby, right? Bob. And then Jim and Kathy's been coming. They're joining. And then this other young lady is coming. We got four people joining the church today. Amen. Amen. Let's give them a hand. Amen. That's exciting. Woo! I'm going to tell you, about 3-4 months ago, I put my truck up for sale. And Jimmy came and looked at my truck and I started talking to him, and he said, I'm a saved man.
I said, why don't you come visit our church? He said, I think I might. And they've been coming. I didn't sell them. He want. After he said, I decided to buy it. I said, Jim, I decided not to sell it. But they kept coming. And this couple has been nothing but a blessing to this church.
Amen.
And I'm so glad I put that truck out in my front yard. I'm thinking about putting it out every week now. If it wasn't for them, I might have never met Jim and Kathy Samuel-Dell. And I'm going to tell you, this couple is precious.
Amen.
They are good people, great people, and just fantastic people. And it's amazing how God brought us together. Isn't that amazing? All the times I'm down at the Record Courier, I never saw you. I'm down at hundreds. Never saw you at Record Courier.
Probably a good thing.
Probably a good thing. But nothing but a blessing. Then Bob. Bob's coming from New Testament. He's going to be part of our church. And we're glad he's coming. Amen.
Amen.
And then Regina. Regina come from Heritage Baptist, I think they told me. And so how many are glad they come? Say amen.
Amen.
Let's have a moment of prayer and come by and shake their hand. All you that are coming, why don't you stand right here? Bob and Jim and Kathy and Regina.